Welcome to the Family Story Podcast, where we talk about family relationships, important family events, and most of all, family stories that can be passed on for generations to come. I'm your host, Rick Jensen, and I'm glad you've joined us today. So sit back, listen, learn, and love as we talk about your family in this episode of the Family Story Podcast. Thank you for joining us today on the Family Story Podcast. In our studio today, we have Elder Nolan Gulbranson. He served in the Vancouver, Canada mission, and we are excited to have him today. Thank you for joining us today, Nolan.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I just want to have a good chat here with you while you tell us about your mission in Canada. First of all, I'm actually interested to know about when you got your call, because I understand you are from Canada. Is it the Vancouver area that you're from?
Yeah, so it's actually Vanderhoof in British Columbia that I was born and raised. And then a couple years before I got my mission call, we moved down here to St. George. And so when I got my mission call, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going back home.
Did you run into people that you knew?
Absolutely, yeah. Oh. So I would, every area that I served in, there would be someone that either lived in Vanderhoof or knew about Vanderhoof. And it was so weird because it's such a small, tiny little town. But a year into my mission, actually, I went and served in my hometown in Vanderhoof for about 4 months or so.
Oh my goodness, that must have been really weird to serve with people that were your primary teachers and your leaders.
Yeah, I thought it would be more weirder than it actually was, because at that point in my mission, I was like, missionary life was just life, it was just normal, and that's just what I did, and so I was just living life back home.
Wow. Tell me what the best thing you liked about Canada.
I think the best thing that I liked was going back to where I was raised, because there you're able to see the culture in a different sense. Like, when you grow up in it, it's just all the good things. And so I was able to see all the good things about the culture and just the people. And I was able to really find out what parts of that made me who I was. And I was able to just get a good look at myself and find out who I really am.
Fascinating. Tell me, what kind of things did you find that like stuck out to you?
I think one of the big things that I was able to overcome a little bit, I think, in my mission, was to go out and talk to other people and be able to really reach out to others and just be normal about it.
So is that something that you felt like has been hard your whole life?
Yes, because I was very shy before my mission, wouldn't talk to like anyone at all. But my mission was able to help me overcome that, because you have to talk to people.
Right. So what have your parents said about the changes that they've seen in you? Have they mentioned anything now that you've been home? And
In a couple interviews with other people, they've mentioned that I seem more confident, which I honestly agree with, because I was not confident at all when I was back home. But my mission helped me see that confidence and humility are actually the same thing, because if you have humility, if you're humble and you know what you're doing is right, then you're going to be confident about that, and you're going to do it with a little bit of pride in there, that you know this is what you need to do.
That's great. So for this question, you know, I've heard people say, I got my mission call and I knew I was called to go to this place for a particular reason. What do you think your reason was?
I think I found my reason in every area that I served in. It's because you move different areas, and so it'd be specific people that I would go, and then I'd be there a few weeks or even a few months, and I wouldn't find out why I was there until I met that person and then helped that person understand more about the gospel. And I was able to see that particular person was why I was there, either to help me or for me to help them.
Wow, that's great. Missions are filled with excitement and challenges and some really great opportunities and events that happen. And I want to talk to you about both of those. If you could share with us
an experience that you felt really impacted you on your mission. Would you be willing to share that with us today?
I think one experience that I had on my mission was I just got into the area. My companion was the senior companion, and so he knows what's going on. He tells me that we have this guy that we're teaching, and I meet this guy, and his story was, this is literally a week after they met him, and his story was he was American and moved up to Canada to be with his wife. But then they divorced when he got up there, and he had a little girl as well. And so he didn't know what was going to happen to her. He didn't know what was going to happen to him because he didn't have a green card or a residence at all. And he had a friend in Maui that he was talking to, that he was trying to figure things out. And this friend in Maui was, he was a member of the church. He wasn't active in the church at the moment, but he was a member of the church, and he told them to just go to the church because he told them a little bit about it before. And he went, and that Saturday that he walked to church was General Conference. And so he walked in there and just heard a little bit. And he was able, from that point on, he was able to learn and eventually get baptized.
Oh my goodness. Was anybody even at the chapel?
Yeah, there was a few people there, but the missionaries were there and they were able to talk to him. And because he's going through all this, he only listened to a little bit, and then they took him in a separate room and taught him about the restoration of the gospel.
Wow. You mentioned that, that experience impacted you. Why did it impact you? What was it about it that you thought, whoa, this is real?
I think just the fact that not only was a general conference that weekend, but I was able to see him at that point where he is so broken down, so beaten by his situation, and then how he used the atonement of Jesus Christ, how he was able to let Jesus Christ help him. And I was in that area for 6 months. And so at the end of those 6 months, I was able to see him. He was a completely different person. He's still the same personality, but he was a different person in the sense of he was way more happier. He knew what he was trying to do. And he was the leader for the young men's. And so I was able to see that change in him, and just his story was able to help me realize that, like, this gospel is something that's real, that it's true, and that it helps everyone.
Thank you. Missions can be challenging, too. What would you say would be your most challenging experience that you had while you're on your mission?
I think my most challenging experience that I had was the point where I was training a new missionary. And when I was training him, it was the first time that the second time that I was a senior companion. The time before that, I was only a senior companion for a tiny little bit. And then, so it was the second time that I was a senior companion, still not really understanding what missionary work was. I knew what it was, but how to do it. And so, being put in that position, but not only that, that same month that I was training this one person, I was also in charge of this group of missionaries that were very, like, most of them were pretty new as well. And so trying to help them understand how to be a missionary when I didn't fully understand how to. And that same month, my great-grandma passed away as well. But then in the mission, we had an accident from these missionaries, one of which was my companion. The one other time that I was a senior companion was with this missionary. And he passed away from the car accident. And so all this was happening in the same month, and I was trying to figure out how to be a missionary, what to do, what I'm supposed to be doing, how to help other people, and all this was going down. And so at that point, I started to try and use the atonement of Jesus Christ the same way that I did when I was back home, just try and plead and do everything that I could to be willing to receive the promptings of the Holy Ghost. And so I learned, not overnight, how to be a missionary, but just little by little, I would try different things, fail at it, and then try some other things. And through that slow process, and also Jesus Christ helping me along and helping and showing me how to do things and how to run things, then slowly from that, I fully understood how to be a missionary and what a missionary was like.
So just in our conversation here, you've used the phrase, "I've used the atonement of Jesus Christ." Explain that. What does that mean? I've used it. What did you do? How do you use that? Help somebody to understand what that looks like.
I feel like sometimes we see the atonement of Jesus Christ as when we sin, when we do something bad, and then it will make that bad go away. But how I've experienced it is, it's doing the basic things when we pray, mostly prayer, because that's when you're talking to Heavenly Father and you're asking Him to help you with this because you can't, because you tried and you can't do it. And so whether that's with, say, an addiction that you've had, or if it's simply trying to learn what you need to do to fill out a schedule, just little things like that. I would say the atonement of Jesus Christ comes into play when you are doing these things. And as you're doing them, then you're able to learn different things. As you fail at something, then you're like, okay, maybe I'll try this. And then the atonement of Jesus Christ helps you, give you that strength to keep on going, to try different things, to reassure you that you're going to be fine. It's kind of like when a parent helps a child walk, as I think would be the best parable. As he falls down, they don't like pick him up and make him walk. They pick them up, but then they let them keep walking. They let them learn how to find their legs. And then once they find their legs, then they're fine. Then they can walk on their own. And there's still going to be parts where they're going to hit their head or they're going to slip up, but they're always able to pick them back up and put them on their feet again. And that's how I'd relate it the best way.
That's a great analogy. Thank you. You mentioned that you had a former missionary companion who passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Your great-grandmother passed away, and I'm guessing you were close to her.
Mm-hmm.
Your family wasn't there to support you, and I'm not sure if this was at the time where you could call home or not.
Mm-hmm.
Was it?
It was the same month, and the calls helped a little bit because you're able to talk to your family. You're able to let them know what's going on. But at the same time, most of the rest of the week, the 24/7 hours that you aren't calling your family, you gotta go and preach the gospel. You gotta go share this message. And so during that time, it's that time that you're trying to figure out what I need to do.
How do you think the rest of the mission dealt with it? I mean, you were his companion, but I'm sure that just that feeling of mourning just probably was present through the whole mission.
It definitely was. And I think this is where God is able to come into play. I think that same transfer that missionary passed away, there's definitely that feeling over the entire mission, but we had a general authority come visit, and he's able to talk to us and able to help us understand a little bit more about the plan of salvation and help just re-emphasis on preaching the gospel and what we need to do to be missionaries, to honor this missionary's experience and his mission that he was able to accomplish.
Wow. Thank you very much. You know, you're with a companion for 24 hours. Can you tell me what it's like? How do you deal with living with a companion for 24 hours?
I would say you get used to it. At the start, it was very, very weird. And I was like, oh, I gotta be with this guy for all day, every day. But you just get used to it. And I think the biggest thing that I learned in my mission with your companion is when you're with someone, if you have a problem, you gotta speak up. You guys gotta talk about it. Because if there's some sort of contention there, the Spirit's not gonna be there. And how do you expect to find, to teach by the Spirit when you aren't feeling it any other time during the day? And so you guys gotta talk about it. You guys gotta figure things out, because there's no point in you going out if the Spirit's not there. So what I learned is, when you're with someone, you're able to just talk to them. You're able to just accept their little things that they do, and in the long run, it doesn't really matter. And it also helps having that second person when you're trying to figure out where you need to go or what you need to do, to have that second opinion always there. Whereas I found back home, sometimes you're on your own, you're by yourself, and you don't have that second person with you to either reassure or deny what you're doing.
Thank you. Tell me about the mission rules, because, you know, you're living with a companion and they have these strict rules that you go by. What was the rule that you felt like this was the one that was the hardest to keep, and explain why that was hard to keep for you? And how did you feel like you benefited from keeping the mission rules?
I would say for me, music was the rule that I struggled the most to keep. I always kept it, but I would always think to myself, man, if I just had music, I could go on for another 3 years. But
what kind of music were you like missing? What was it you were missing?
Just because on the mission, it was just gospel, strictly centered music that was like light. You're able to feel the Spirit. And so just the music that I would usually listen to wasn't the music that you listen to as a missionary. And so back home, that's how I, looking back on it, that's how I would always relax or chill out, was just sit there and listen to music. And so I think that'd be the hardest thing. But what I found from all the mission rules of keeping them is, and I've seen this over my mission, because all the little changes that have come in the church over the past, since President Nelson has been the prophet, have been on my mission. My first general conference on my mission was that general conference when President Nelson was sustained as a prophet. And so all these different changes, being able to call home every week instead of every 2 years, even getting a new handbook that the missionaries have now, just all these different little things came out on my mission. And so it helped me realize that all the rules, everything that's there in place, it's not about what you're doing, it's about who you're becoming. And I found that all the rules at the beginning were not the same as at the end, because they're trying to get you to become something rather than just do these things because they're important, but do them because you will become a better person because of them.
So you're still a young man, you're still becoming, but who has Nolan Gulbranson become as a result of the mission and the mission experience?
Yeah, I feel like I've become more confident in myself. I feel like I've become a planner. And that's something that totally spaced my mind before my mission. But my mission has helped me become that. And also just become, I think, more caring, and I would say more humble. I guess if you say you're humble, you're not humble, but a little bit. It's been able to help me see that I'm honestly nothing.
Are you happy with what you become?
Absolutely.
What are you most happy with what you become? What are you most pleased with?
I think just when I was going into a mission, I saw myself at the end of my mission being able to just talk to everyone, being able to just preach the gospel no matter what, and being able to know that I was a different person. And so I think the most proud thing that I've seen is that I have actually become something, and to do that, I was able to talk to anyone on the street and I wasn't scared about it at all. And the cool thing was about going back home on my mission is I was able to see that growth developed gradually. This is just the people that I knew before, how I would interact with them. was different. And so I was able to actually see that change in me on my mission. I feel like a lot of missionaries don't have that opportunity.
Right.
And I think that's why they stress so badly to keep a journal, because when you keep a journal, you're able to see that progression. Whereas for me, I was able to see that progression just talking with the people that I knew before. Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing that I'm most proud about, is that I was able to actually change on my mission.
Thanks so much for sharing that. Everybody has different strengths, and maybe even you could say different spiritual gifts that they bring out on their mission. What do you feel like your strength was that you brought out, that you contributed to the mission experience?
The one that was most applicable was discernment, and just being able to see things as they are. It's because on a mission, as you talk to people, you're trying to observe them, see what you could talk about or what's going through their mind or what they're thinking or what they're feeling, to be able to adjust the situation, and also listening to the spirit as well. And so I think that's the biggest thing that came from my mission, was being able to discern.
That's great. If you could go back and relive one day of your mission, what would that day be? Tell me about it.
I would think one day that I would like to relive was a day that we met someone that we taught, and we were eventually able to see her get baptized, was this one girl that we met in Quesnel. And just that whole, I don't really remember the rest of the day, but that night where we met her, the spirit was so strong there, because she was able to actually have an experience with Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ before that I was able to connect to, and I was able to help her see, hey, I went through the exact same thing. And so from that, she is able to be more open. And this is just over dinner. These members invited their friend, and so we were just talking about this over dinner. And then we shared a little message, a little short video that explained what the Book of Mormon was. And as we were teaching her about that, she said, yeah, I believe that's true. And just that feeling and the spirit there was so impactful, and to be able to see her grow from that and then eventually get baptized was one of the coolest experiences on my mission. And it was right at the end of my mission as well. And I think that's one day that I'd love to go back and relive.
Thank you. There's going to be other people who listen to this who may be considering serving a mission or not, and trying to make some decisions with their own life, or maybe even your future children might be listening to something like this. What would you say to them?
I would say go on a mission, because a mission is able to help you see how you're able to handle things. And a mission isn't for everyone, but that's why I say go on a mission, because when you start out, if it's not for you, you will find out very quickly, and you will be able to see things that are holding you back. If you go out and you are ready, and ready doesn't necessarily mean that you know all the scriptures, that you are able to talk to everyone. Ready just means you're willing to let the Lord change you. And so if you're ready and you go, then your mission will be such a great blessing, and then will show you how God works with his children. And so I would say to anyone who's thinking about going or not going, is just go and just take that leap of faith, take that step, and just try that for a little bit.
How did you know that you were ready? Like, you know, when you talk about being ready for you, how did you know that you were ready?
I think for me, it was when I was in the MTC. MTC is just like this little spiritual bubble to prepare you for the actual field. But I love the MTC, and in there it helped me realize that no, I don't know everything. In fact, I know very little, but it helped me realize that you don't need to know everything. You don't need to have all this, because it's the Spirit who leads this work. It's the Spirit who teaches, not you. And so if you're willing to be able to have the Spirit lead and guide you, if you're willing to be able to learn things, then you will be led and guided and you will learn things. And I think that at the MTC, I realized that as I follow the Spirit, then there's nothing that's going to be holding me back. And so I don't need to worry about if I'm doing the right thing.
That's a great message. Thank you for sharing that. So I bet there's lots of missionaries who have questions. You mentioned that you were training some new missionaries, and there's probably a lot of questions from these new missionaries where you've had experience you can share with them. If missionaries were to ask you questions, what kind of questions would they ask you, and how would that work? I mean, what kind of information would you want to share with them?
I think most of the time it's just on splits or exchanges where you just switch with another missionary, where they're able to actually ask you legitimate questions and be able to get to know you and get to know answers. And so I feel like there's not a lot of time that missionaries that are going home are able to be able to talk with these new missionaries that are coming out. But one thing that my companion did, one of my companions, he saw this missionary. He really respected and looked up to this one missionary when he was just out on his mission. And we have these final testimonies, what we call them, before someone goes home in our district meetings. And during his final testimony, this elder thought in his head, man, I wish I could ask him some questions. And so he, for his final testimony in the meeting, that's what he did. He was like, all right, so this is a Q&A. So what do you guys want to know about me and my mission before I go home? And so I really admired that he said that, and then he actually went through with it. And so I thought, you know what, that's a cool idea. I want to do that. And so that's what I did. My final testimony is I had a Q&A where all these missionaries asked all these different questions. And the funny thing was, it was all questions that my companion was asking me, because he was just new as well. And so it was really cool to be able to see that all these missionaries have these questions. And so if you just give them that little bit of time, then they're able to ask those, and you're able to help them understand a little bit more.
What were the questions? I mean, give me an example.
I think one of them was, what point in my mission did I grow the most? And I think I explained that here as well, where you're able to ask me that question. And it was when I was going through that 1 month period when I was on my own doing everything, and then all these deaths were happening of people that I knew about. And so just being able to sit down and talk to them, I feel like you get, from a mission experience, you get a lot of the same questions that people have and people want to know about.
That's cool. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Missionaries have the opportunity to share their testimony a number of times with people who believe in their faith and even people who don't believe in their faith. Would you mind sharing your testimony?
Absolutely. I know that God lives, that he's an actual person, and he's just as real as I am speaking right now, that Jesus Christ did live and he did die for us, that he has felt everything that we have or ever will feel. That he's felt that. And I know that it's up to us to decide who we're going to become and what we're going to do. We have all these great opportunities in the church to use all these resources, but it's up to us to decide. We decide if we let Jesus Christ help us. We decide if we follow God, and we decide who we're going to be at the end of every single day. And I know that this church is led by a prophet, that the Book of Mormon truly was a record of the people that lived here in the Americas thousands of years ago, and that it testifies of Christ. It is scripture, and that President Russell M. Nelson is a prophet of God, and I know these things by the Holy Ghost. Because if you want to know spiritual questions, you need spiritual answers. And the Holy Ghost gives us that. Not any book, not any person, they can tell you about it, but you know that it's from God, by God. And you know that from the Holy Ghost. And I know that these things are true. And so that's my testimony. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that, Elder Gulbrandson. We appreciate being here in our studio today and just opening up to us about some of those experiences. We also want to thank our listeners for joining us today. And if you have any questions for Elder Gulbrandson, you can email us at guest@familystorypodcast.com. In the subject line, put Elder Nolan Gulbrandson's name, and we'll get that letter to him. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you have a great day. Thank you for joining us today on the Family Story Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Family Story Podcast is a production of Harmony Audio Recordings. This podcast is strictly prohibited for use without permission. For more information about Family Story Podcast or to create your own Family Story Podcast, contact us at familystorypodcast.com. We hope you join us again soon and encourage you to go create a family memory today.